a festive song, generally religious, but not necessarily connected with the church worship. You know the word carol from Christmas carols, and from Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol illustrates the fact that something can be religious, but not Christian. Although people think A Christmas Carol shows the true meaning of Christmas, it doesn't. It's a religious carol about Christmas, but it's sure not the Christmas Carol. The story, as you know, begins with Scrooge as a cruel employer, a hard-hearted man, and a miser without love or mercy for anyone. His dead business partner, Jacob Marley, appears wrapped in chains, warning Scrooge that his sins are making heavy chains for him right now. Then the spirit of Christmas past comes, and we find out that it really isn't Ebenezer's fault that he is such a Scrooge. He had a loveless childhood, which made him a loveless young man and eventually a miserly old one. Then the spirits of Christmas present and future show us how many people Scrooge harms by his pitiless, ruthless attitude. The story climaxes the next morning when the spirits have left. Scrooge is overjoyed to find he still has time to change fate by becoming a generous, forgiving, merciful person. He reaches out to the Cratchit family and to his estranged nephew. His tight fists open and he spends money like water. Well, many think this is the true meaning of Christmas. The hardened sinner is changed overnight. But look closely at A Christmas Carol. What caused Ebenezer to change from being a Scrooge? Well, he had the Dickens, pun intended, scared out of him. The spirit of Christmas future took him to the graveyard and showed him not only Tiny Tim's grave, but his own. To make up for a lifetime of sins, to avoid that awful graveyard, Scrooge does a multitude of good works. Do you think this is the true meaning of Christmas? Well, if you do, then you go ahead and tell your kids that if they're not good little boys and girls, Santa is only going to bring them a piece of coal. Then you go ahead and tell them that they had better be nice and not naughty or else. If you think this is the true meaning of Christmas, the same goes for you. If A Christmas Carol shows the true meaning, then you had better start thinking about what a miserable wretch you are and how you've ruined Christmas for others. Then you'd better go to the graveyard and see that for all you do, this tombstone is for you. If Dickens' story is all there is to Christmas, then Scrooge, after doing so many good things for the Cratchit family, went to hell for all eternity. Likewise, if you think the true meaning of Christmas is changing from being self-centered to serving others, you too are going to end up in hell. There is simply no gospel, no Christ in Scrooge's Christmas. And without these, there is no carol. There is no festive song in Christmas, period. The real meaning of Christmas is not found in our works, whether good or bad. The real meaning of Christmas is found in the work of Christ. Now, using the graphic imagery from the Dickens story, our works can only make longer, heavier chains for us. Jacob Marley, he's quite a sight standing there wrapped up in chains, frightfully moaning. But the reality is far worse. Dickens gave Scrooge an out for being so sinful. He gave Scrooge a loveless childhood. The long, thick, heavy chains Ebenezer later forged by his heartless ways, they weren't really his fault. But that's a lie. Regardless of what happened to you as a child, your sins belong to you. Your chains are your responsibility. No matter how loveless or merciless you were raised, you are going to be held guilty for your failure to love or show mercy now. Furthermore, even if you went out from here a changed man or woman, even if you were like Scrooge this Christmas morning, showering everyone you had wronged with gifts, forgiveness, and love, those very works still would only add to your chains. Why? Because no matter how hard you try, no matter how serious you are about being good and kind, all of your works, even your best ones, are dead weights pulling you relentlessly toward hell. Before God, not one of our works is good enough, clean enough, holy enough. The $10 bill you threw in the Salvation Army kettle, I didn't make God smile. That new coat you gave to Goodwill, that food you gave to the food bank, or that toy you gave to Blue Santa, that didn't win any points with God. It didn't shorten your chains one little bit. In fact, if you think your works do help to shorten your chains, or at least they don't add to them, well, you're even worse trouble than you think. Works we think help us before God, those make the thickest, longest, heaviest chains. Because such works, they cut us off completely from God's grace. That means Scrooge was never farther from God's grace than he was on that bright Christmas morning. The only works that stand before God are God's works. The only works that can please God are works done by God himself. Therefore, the only human works that can stand before God are those done by the man who is God, Jesus Christ. Your love, my mercy, our generosity can't stand before God, but that of Jesus can and does. Our works, even those done in all the warmth and glow of Christmas, are tainted with sin. Try as we may, our works are always spoiled. Some piece of pride, some bit of greed, some drop of envy drops into our works. But this never, ever happens with Jesus. Jesus' works are totally pure, totally holy. Although he truly has human flesh and blood like us from the Virgin Mary, his flesh and blood are divine, they are holy, without spot or stain. But a strange thing happened when Jesus was conceived in the Virgin's womb. Though he was the pure and holy God, he was conceived wrapped in thick, heavy chains. He was born into this world wearing those grotesque chains. As he grew through infancy, childhood, and adolescence, those chains remained. As an adult, he carried them wherever he went, whatever he did, the chains were there. At night, he slept on them. During the day, he walked with them, their weight burdening his every step. On the cross, those chains hung so thickly on him that he couldn't even be seen any longer. Those chains Jesus bore, they were yours. They were mine. They were ours. The chains you have spent a lifetime making, Jesus carried for you. But he did more than just carry them. He paid for them. He truly did make up for them. When Jesus died on the cross, the long, heavy chains of yours were dissolved. They hung around his neck no more. He didn't drag them around any longer. And now, neither do you. Though you are wrapped in chains thicker than Jacob Marley, you don't have them any longer. You don't have to make up for your sins by changing your behavior. You don't have to pay for your sins by doing the best you can because you have no more sins, no more chains. Jesus carried every one of them to Calvary and melted them there by his holy, precious blood. Now this wonderful work of Jesus is absolutely useless to you without the work of the Holy Spirit. A Christmas carol has the Spirit at work too, but there it's spirits plural. The spirits of Christmas past, present, and future. And what is the work of the spirits in a Christmas carol? Well, their work is to rub the face of Scrooge in his sins. These spirits drag him through all the heartbreaks of his life and even show him what future heartaches his sins will cause. Spirits, plural, they'll do the same thing to you. It is not the Holy Spirit who brings to your mind all the heart-wrenching moments from Christmas's past. It is not the Holy Spirit who rubs your face in your sins as if you were a dog who peed on the rug. It is not the Holy Spirit who tries to scare you into changing your behavior. It is not the Holy Spirit who wants you to find happiness by doing good works. Spirits, evil and demonic, bring guilt, fear, and shame down upon your head. Fallen spirits want you to think you can have peace with God by changing your behavior. The Holy Spirit wants to give you peace with God by showing you that God has changed his attitude towards you because of the behavior of Jesus. Spirits sent from hell, they focus on you and yourself at Christmas. The Holy Spirit focuses you on Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not take you through your life, past, present, or future. The Holy Spirit takes you through Jesus' life. He shows you how Jesus carried and paid for the chains of sin that you have forged. The Holy Spirit takes all the love, all the grace, and all the mercy that Jesus paid for and deserves, and he gives it to you instead. The Holy Spirit takes the merits of Jesus and applies it to your life. Now, how does he do this? The spirits in Dickens' book work by means of visions. They came at night and they took Scrooge on walking tours of his past, present, and future. The Holy Spirit does not work in your life by means of visions, and he doesn't come to you only at night. The Holy Spirit works through physical things that are available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Holy Spirit comes in the Word of God, displaying before your eyes the history of God's people. He shows you that despite the terrible wickedness of God's people, despite the heavy chains they forged over centuries, never did God stop loving them. Never did God stop taking care of them. Never did God pull back on his promise to come and redeem them. But the Holy Spirit does more than show us the history of God's people. He turns us in to the people of God. In the waters of holy baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us new life. The Holy Spirit, through baptism, brings all the forgiveness, all the power, all the love that belongs to Jesus and pours it over our lives. The Holy Spirit does for us what the spirits who visited Scrooge never did. The Holy Spirit assures us that we are saved. While they rubbed Scrooge's face in his sins, the Holy Spirit rubs ours in the waters of baptism that save us. The true spirit of Christmas, that's the Holy Spirit, brings forth trust, confidence, faith in the Christ of Christmas. The counterfeit spirits bring forth a focus on yourself, what you are and what you do. That's not important in the Christmas story, is it? Who Christ is and what he does, that's the point of the Christmas Carol. And I'm happy to report that in life, Dickens got the point that his story missed. He opposed the self-righteous Puritans, and in his last will and testament, he commended his soul to God and to the mercy of Jesus Christ. So, although Scrooge would have gone to hell, Dickens did not. His life ended much more festive than his carol. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.